In 1947, a Mexican traveler arrived in New York City carrying an invisible passenger, smallpox. Within days, panic gripped the city. 5 million people lined up for emergency vaccinations. Schools closed. Quarantines locked down entire neighborhoods. One disease, one person, one city transformed into chaos. Yet just 30 years later, smallpox would become the first and still only disease humanity deliberately erased from existence. How did we go from terror to triumph? And more importantly, can we do it again? The story of disease eradication is far more complicated than we imagine. It's not just about science or medicine. It's about power, politics, and the audacious belief that we can bend nature to our will. Through the lens of campaigns against yellow fever, malaria, polio, and ultimately smallpox, we discover a pattern of spectacular successes and devastating failures, each teaching us something profound about what it takes to eliminate disease forever. Fred Lowe Soper approached disease eradication like military conquest. Nicknamed the General, he believed half measures were worse than no measures at all. In 1930s Brazil, when yellow fever returned to Rio de Janeiro, Soper created specialized mother squads to hunt mosquitoes house by house and pioneered viscerotomy, collecting liver samples from fever victims to detect hidden cases. Most controversially, he pushed through purposely draconian legislation, giving his teams absolute. Fred Lowe Soper approached disease eradication like military conquest. Nicknamed the General, he believed half measures were worse than no measures at all. In 1930s Brazil, when yellow fever returned to Rio de Janeiro, Soper created specialized mother squads to hunt mosquitoes house by house and pioneered viscerotomy, collecting liver samples from fever victims to detect hidden cases. Most controversially, he pushed through purposely draconian legislation, giving his teams absolute rights to inspect homes and fine non-compliant families. The approach worked. Soper eliminated Aedes aegypti mosquitoes from entire regions and formulated Soper's Law, the principle that successful eradication in one country creates pressure on neighbors to follow suit, inevitably expanding worldwide. What Soper didn't fully appreciate was that his authoritarian methods thrived under colonial administrations and military occupations where public health officials wielded extraordinary power. The campaigns saved lives, but established a troubling pattern: disease eradication as something done to populations rather than with them. When DDT arrived during World War II, it seemed miraculous. Allied aerial spraying in Italy made mosquitoes vanish and malaria transmission stop. The 1955 Malaria Eradication Program aimed to eliminate malaria worldwide through systematic household DDT spraying. The logic was seductive. Eliminate malaria first, and economic development would naturally follow, preventing communist influence in poor countries. Between 1946 and 1950, Soper tested DDT eradication on Sardinia. The results were instructive. Mosquitoes remained, though reduced, while malaria virtually disappeared and didn't return even after spraying stopped. This proved completely eradicating mosquitoes was impossible and unnecessary for eliminating malaria. Yet the global program pressed forward, ignoring this nuance. By 1969, mounting problems forced a reckoning. Unlike yellow fever, malaria had 30-40 transmitting mosquito species, manifested as chronic illness easily missed by surveillance, and had nearly global distribution. The collapse revealed a deeper problem. Vertical campaigns bypassing existing health systems prove unsustainable. Most fundamentally, the economic conditions enabling disease, rural poverty, poor housing, inadequate sanitation, remained unaddressed. You can't spray away poverty. Smallpox eradication succeeded where countless campaigns failed, revealing what makes disease elimination possible. Before vaccination, smallpox killed roughly 400,000 Europeans annually around 1800, about 20% of all urban deaths. Edward Jenner's 1796 discovery that cowpox exposure protected against smallpox launched a nearly 200-year journey toward complete elimination. By 1950, wealthy countries faced a paradox. Smallpox had declined so dramatically that vaccination risks now exceeded disease risks. America spent $15 to $20 million yearly defending against a threat absent for over a decade. Eliminating smallpox worldwide would save these costs, a compelling economic case wrapped in humanitarian rhetoric. When WHO launched the Intensified Smallpox Eradication Program in 1967, the campaign reached its last indigenous case in Somalia on October 26, 1977. Two factors proved crucial: genuine political will from thousands of participants across multiple countries, and Dr. William H. Foge's surveillance containment innovation, concentrating vaccines on smallpox contacts rather than attempting universal coverage. Smallpox had unique biological advantages: no animal reservoir, visible symptoms enabling detection, minimal mutation, and an effective vaccine providing lasting immunity. Smallpox eradication wasn't just human triumph, it was also extraordinarily lucky. Today's eradication efforts reveal how exceptional smallpox success truly was. The global polio campaign, launched in 1988 when the disease remained endemic in 125 countries, has reduced annual cases from 350,000 to just dozens, yet complete eradication remains frustratingly elusive. In 1997, health workers vaccinated 250 million children across 8 Asian countries in a single week. Despite this extraordinary mobilization, vaccination refusals in northern Nigeria between 2003 to 2006 spread polio to 27 previously polio-free countries. Disease eradication isn't just technical, it's fundamentally social and political. Guinea worm disease offers a contrasting model. This debilitating parasitic infection has been reduced from 3.2 million cases in 1986 to fewer than 100 today, without drugs or vaccines. The strategy relies entirely on water filtration and community education, proving successful eradication doesn't always require massive funding. Meanwhile, diseases once thought conquered are resurging. Dengue fever has increased 30-fold since 1960, now affecting over 100 countries with 50 to 100 million annual cases. When mosquito vigilance was abandoned in the 1970s after yellow fever vaccination became available, nobody anticipated dengue's emergence. The lesson is sobering. Without complete eradication, reduced surveillance allows diseases to roar back devastatingly. Disease eradication history reveals a fundamental tension: vertical campaigns targeting specific diseases versus horizontal approaches building comprehensive health systems. Vertical programs achieve dramatic short-term results but prove unsustainable. Horizontal approaches lack focused intensity but create lasting infrastructure. The most promising path combines both, using disease-specific campaigns to strengthen basic health systems. Brazil's universal healthcare maintains targeted disease control while providing comprehensive primary care. The Guinea worm campaign built local capacity, now addressing multiple neglected tropical diseases. Global health inequalities remain staggering. Nearly half the world's population subsists on less than $2 daily. Sub-Saharan Africa's under-5 mortality rates reach 100 to 200 per thousand live births, compared to 4 to 8 in developed nations, disparities fundamentally affecting eradication feasibility. Private philanthropy has transformed global health financing. The Gates Foundation's 2007 malaria eradication announcement surprised experts given previous failures. Unlike the rushed 1950s program, their approach spans decades with heavy research investment. Yet most specialists consider complete eradication unrealistic, preferring integrated control strategies addressing multiple health challenges simultaneously. Disease eradication should remain exceptional, reserved for rare cases where technical feasibility, political will, and economic rationality align. For most global health challenges, effective control through comprehensive healthcare systems makes more sense. This vision is more modest than Soper's dream of conquering nature disease by disease, but it's more sustainable and humane. The real measure of global health isn't how many diseases we've eliminated, it's how many lives we've improved through accessible, equitable healthcare. Disease eradication teaches us that technical solutions never suffice alone. Community trust, political context, economic conditions, and health systems all matter. When someone promises to eradicate the next great disease, ask whether it's the best use of resources. Does the campaign strengthen or bypass local infrastructure? Are communities partners or targets? Sustainable health comes not from spectacular victories against individual diseases, but from patient work building systems that serve everyone, everywhere, every day.